How do you take yours? Single shot espresso, skinny latte, or regular Americano? You can't have failed to notice the growth in coffee shops in Northern Ireland dotted along high streets across the province. So as a business, how do they work and why now are they so popular?
You're listening to The Profit Margin with First Trust Bank.
Hello, you're listening to The Profit Margin with me, Naomi McMullen, and Jamie DeLorge. Now, do you think you'd have it in you to set up your own coffee shop? For a growing number of people, it appears to be an attractive business proposition. But how easy is it really? What are all the rules and regulations and costs that many people know nothing about? Jamie sat down with Colin Neely from Hospitality Ulster to get the inside track and began by asking, how much does it cost to even start one?
Often people say to you, what price would you, you know, how much money would you need? And that's a bit of a question you put people off, because I can sit here and say, well, you need 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. What do you need? And what you can do is be creative. And there's no fixed price, because you could approach somebody you know about putting an in-shop type coffee shop in a barber's, in a clothes shop or whatever. And that's the benefit, because you're feeding off their footfall as well. And you've seen lots of actually stores actually do that themselves. But it does cost, or you could do it creatively. I mean, you can go for shabby chic and buy sort of furniture from indeed the second-hand shops and auctions. You can lease the barista machines and stuff. Are expensive, but they can be leased. But again, you do need the credit ratings and the stuff. We're all behind it. And no matter what, it will cost you, because as soon as you out even recruit one member of staff, you're probably at a couple of £1,000 just in the recruitment and stuff. You know, you got to write your business plan. You got to think it through. You maybe have to get your plan application. So unfortunately, any business, there's money involved. But I wouldn't put that, say, to people that will put you off. The biggest thing you need is passion. If you've got passion, you'll actually find the money and you'll drive the business.
We're talking about coffee shops because there are so many of them about. Is the market saturated? Is there room for more coffee shops, especially in the Greater Belfast area?
I mean, there are a lot of coffee shops, and we've seen them scale up. And indeed, coffee consumption at home has fallen. But that is driving, actually, consumption out there. I would say there's a room for good. There's more room for good coffee shops. You've got to stand out, because you're competing against the multinationals who do nice coffee, but they're not, you know, few of them are exceptional. You think, I'm going there because that's the best coffee in town. And that's the trick. Be a destination, create the space, the environment, become the third place. It's not home, it's not work, it's somewhere you go to socialise and relax.
If you go into somewhere to eat, you will see these hygiene ratings, and I suppose people are wondering what standards they have to reach. If you're only intending to provide coffee and, say, pre-prepared buns, how complicated is that? How difficult is it to meet those standards?
No, you're very right. You do need your hygiene certificates and stuff, and you need your staff trained in that, and you need the procedures there to do it. Lots of people will be very familiar with the scores on the door, the 1 to 5 ratings. It all depends on what you're doing. What you should remember is, even coffee, if you just said, I'm doing coffee, beverage, it's a beverage, it's a food, you need food hygiene certificate. So you're starting from the very basic level one. If you're actually then going to sell food, if it's pre-prepared, level one will still do you. If you're going to start making your own, then you have to upscale, you have to go for a higher qualification, and indeed higher standards, because you've got a preparation areas and extra fridges, separation and stuff, so it does add cost. An awful lot of people will actually tie up with someone who makes gourmet sandwiches, whatever, and buy the product in. The key there is, make sure, again, it's good, and it's not something you can get round the corner to take away in a sandwich bar.
Well, just focus on that last aspect. What is the secret of success, product or people?
I would have said, I mean, they're both key. Coffee, we have become, can I say it, coffee snobs, you know.
And you can.
It's a lifestyle product. You know, it is about, I'm drinking my coffee in this type of establishment, it sends a statement. So the coffee is key in a coffee shop, as you would expect, but also to the people. It is the hospitality sector, and people are key. You've got to put fire in everyone's belly that works for you about maintaining that standard, that reaction with the customer. Staff training is essential. You do not just employ somebody and put them in place straight away. That's it. You don't have to employ people with the skills. Employ talent and then you can teach them.
I wonder if some people are thinking that, okay, coffee shops are popular now, but this is a trend that could crash and burn. Do you think there's life in the coffee shop business?
Absolutely. And I say, I mean, most of the research, I say there's growth predicted possibly for the next 10 years. But it is about doing your homework. There is no point in putting a coffee shop in the middle of a field. You've got to make sure there is a customer base there for it. And, you know, do your homework, look at the competition, how are you going to differentiate yourself, and get it right from day one. You get one opportunity. It's like a job interview or audition. If I've been there once and it wasn't good, especially on the first occasion, it's very hard to get people back.
And last question. Do you really have to be, as a proprietor, on the premises, not necessarily all the time, but do you have to establish yourself, or can you really hand that responsibility over to other people, hired hands?
Well, I mean, you can, but I mean, I would say to anybody in any of the sectors, if you're starting your own business, be there. You know, answer the phone, chat to people, because that's how you'll find the feedback. The sort of comment, I'm going to invest in a coffee shop, it means you've got to go and find that person that will treat that business as if it was their own. And that's harder to find. They won't have the same commitment, the same passion, the same attention to detail that will be making sure the toilets are spotless, that you're open in time. There is the old adage of, you know, you may be open for business, but are you ready for business?
I'll drink to that. Thanks very much, Colin.
So there's some thoughts about how to get started from a man who knows, but what about those already in business? What advice would they give? Seems it's important to be realistic. Orla Smith is the owner of Cafe O on the Ormo Road. I asked her how she got started.
So I was a lawyer in Copenhagen for Danske Bank for about 5 years, and I spent part of that time working in Copenhagen. And when I was over there, basically fell in love with their coffee, their culture, their lifestyle, their design, their ethos, to be perfectly honest. Came back, was a lawyer still for another 4 years, but it was always in my head that I wanted to do something. So then in April 2014, I left my job with Allen & Overy. I was one of their in-house lawyers and opened here in June 2014.
And how have you found that journey so far? Because I think some people will imagine opening a coffee shop to be relatively straightforward.
No, it's absolutely horrendous. And if I knew now, if I knew then what I know now, it would be maybe a different outcome. No, nothing prepares you for it, absolutely nothing. I mean, I was a corporate lawyer, and then I was running a small business in the Ormo Road in Belfast, and they're poles apart, absolutely poles apart. So I found it actually really difficult to adjust into. And I don't mean this in the wrong way, but a small business mentality when you've worked in a very corporate world, and people getting people to do things for you, and you know that sort of quick turnaround of how things operated. And to be perfectly honest, I hadn't a clue about running a coffee shop. I might have been known a lot about business and the law of business, but actually being operational, I was not my strong point, I would say.
What do you think was the steepest learning curve?
When the doors opened, you know, I had everything prepared to a T. I had every business plan, I had every budget, I had every plan, whatever was needed to be done. But until the doors open and your first customers walk through the door, absolutely nothing prepares you for that. And dealing with the general public and basically dealing with the general public.
But we're sitting here this morning and it's busy, and I know you've opened your second coffee shop, so obviously it's working quite well for you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm very lucky. I've got great guys that work for me. The expansion was very much more by opportunity than plan at that particular stage. But it's really, really hard work. And I think what people also realise is once you, you know, if you open a business, it's not a short-term turnaround. You're in it for the long haul, and you have to be mentally prepared for that. So, yes, I'm very lucky that the businesses are doing well, but it's constant. It's absolutely 24/7, constant working on them to ensure that they continue to do so.
What do you think are the biggest misconceptions around it then?
Oh, people think that it's all fun and brilliant. All you do is sit and drink coffee with your mates all day and have a chat, and it's such a lovely environment to be in. At the end of the day, it's a business, and if a business isn't making money and it's not meeting its targets, then it's not a very nice place to be, like any business. I think people have a romanticised view of what running a coffee shop is like, and I think it's a dose of reality when you're actually in it and realising that it's not just about making nice coffee and buns, you know. It's your, the outgoings in the this industry are absolutely gastronomical, and to be perfectly honest, I think completely disproportionate. Some of the costs that are expected of small business owners are crazy.
And just run me through some of those costs in particular.
Okay, so obviously you pay your rent and your rates, absolutely acceptable. What I would say is my rates are three times more just a mile away in Botanic Avenue than they are in the Omer Road. That's ridiculous. I'm not three times a bigger business just because I opened down there, and I'm certainly not doing three times the business in Botanic that I'm doing on the Omer Road. I pay my rates, and to be perfectly honest, I'm not 100% sure what I get for them, because I pay privately for all my bins, I pay for my water, and what particularly peeves me off is the ethos of our company is very much a recycling and a green ethos, because I think we all have a duty in that regard. Yeah, I pay more because I separate all my waste and I compost all my food waste, I recycle all my cardboard, my glass. I have very little, as little as I can, mixed waste, but there's no benefit to me for doing that. So I end up paying more as a business owner for that. And I just think it's, you know, you're constant, there's a lot of laws and regulations, and obviously my background is very much a legal background. I nearly think sometimes it's easier running a bank than running a coffee shop when it comes to, you know, regulations. And I think there's a lot of, I think there needs to be more done to encourage small business owners in Northern Ireland. And I'll be brutally honest, when people come to me and say, oh, what you did is great, and I say, stop and think again, because actually there's a hell of a lot more going out than there is coming in.
As well, there has been this coffee shop explosion. Why is that? And do you think it's sustainable?
No, I don't think it's sustainable, to be perfectly honest. I think it's sustainable if you're getting new, original, unique, different venues and better choice for customers. I've spoke about it before. I think if the industry keeps going as it is, it's not innovating, it's replicating. And I think it comes to a point where it's not sustainable in that environment. I also think there has to be more choice for customers. And often when new places open, there aren't more choice. It's just slightly different, but nothing actually really different. I also think the market isn't, yes, there's a growing market, but you know, everybody is fighting for their little share of that market, and if you're not doing it, you know, at the optimum level, I think there will be businesses that will suffer, like any business.
But you, as I say, you know, you have managed to be quite successful. What do you attribute that to?
Hard work, to be perfectly honest. I think we also do something different here. Our coffee is hand roasted in Copenhagen. We're the only people in the UK and Ireland to have that particular coffee. I spend a lot of time importing from Copenhagen, and all our ceramics, all our crockery is Danish. And our lighting, our furniture, etc., are all done by Danish designers. Our menu's Scandinavian inspired, so we're a little bit different in that regard as well. But it's constantly working to distinguish yourself from your competition. That's what everybody has to do. I think whether it's business, sport, or anything, you have to be, you know, distinguish yourself from what everybody else is doing if you want to succeed.
You're listening to The Profit Margin with First Trust Bank.
Now with a look at what's coming up in the week ahead, here's Neil Parker from First Trust Bank.
Coming up, we'll be keeping an eye on the Fed Open Market Committee minutes to gauge the timing of the next interest rate rise from the US. There have been calls for the Fed to lift US interest rates ahead of inflation, and patience seems to be wearing thin with some of the committee members. And from the UK, we'll have retail sales stats from the British Retail Consortium. They've held up well since the referendum, but the effects of the weaker pound will soon start to hit prices on the shelves as the goods we import become more expensive. It's been a rough few weeks for the pound as it falls through 30-year lows over worries of Brexit negotiations. This will hit the consumers in the back pocket over the coming months as prices rise. On the flip side, however, the FTSE continues to hit fresh highs as London-listed firms with overseas interests are seeing higher sales when the sales are translated back into sterling.
Remember, you can get in touch with us on Facebook or Twitter at The Profit Margin, or email me, naomi@theprofitmargin.co.uk. This week, pitching is David Hatton. The student is developing a tool to help people with Alzheimer's.
My name is David Hatton. I am an 18-year-old studying geography in Queen's University, Belfast. I am currently creating an innovative online application called Hindsight. This is a reminiscence and music therapy website for people living with Alzheimer's and dementia. I was inspired to create this after my late grandmother, who suffers from Alzheimer's. During the later stages of her condition, I created a reminiscence PowerPoint for her with all her favourite images and music. This was what gave me the idea to design software which would allow people to create experiences and have access to resources online. I pitched my idea and was selected to be one of the 5 Connect Young founders for a business internship over July and August. This was to learn about business skills and further develop my concept. With extensive help from my mentor Ian James and from the Connect team at Catalyst, I refined my idea. At the end of the internship, I pitched Hindsight and won £5,000 investment. I have also pitched and won runner-up in the student invent. I am now using my investment to create my website.
That's it for now. Thanks for tuning in. If there's anything you think we should be discussing, or if your business is doing something interesting, do get in touch.
You're listening to The Profit Margin with First Trust Bank.